Yes, Mr. Wesley. You've got good theology. But do you know and have you experienced that it was for you and you alone that he died, so far as you're concerned? Not God loved the whole world, but he loved you, John Wesley. And sent Jesus to die for you, John Wesley. And took your sins in his body, John Wesley. And has poured out the Holy Spirit on you, John Wesley. Wesley didn't know what they were talking about. He had the theology, he had the commitment, but he didn't have the experience. And they began, got back to London, they began to meet every Wednesday night in a little home on Aldersgate Street. At about 8:45 one Wednesday night, John went to the meeting reluctantly. Isn't it amazing that so often when the Lord's got a blessing for us, we find something that makes us don't want to go, and we have to overcome that? And old John went, and there was a lay person reading from Luther's preface to the book of Romans. It's good stuff, but it's dry. But there stood that layman reading it. And while they were reading it, the Holy Spirit quickened personal faith in John. And old John Wesley said, I felt shed his blood and poured out the Holy Ghost. And old John came to that personal experience where the promises of God were internalized and personalized. I was hungry, I believed, but I was afraid and talked myself out of it. But one day I was reading the gospel, book of Acts, and read Peter's sermon, and got to the place where he said, for the promise is to you, to them that are near, to them that are far, to as many as the Lord our God shall call. And when I read it, I knew it was to me. I was called. I knew that. I knew I was saved. And I was called of God. And here the promise was to me. And I want you to know, fear left me like that. Perfect love does cast out fear. And the faith was birthed within me. And I knew that the Lord was going to do that wonderful work. And I was going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I never asked anybody else to pray for me. I never went to another conference seeking. I just knew it. It was settled. An act of faith settles the question. I didn't know how or when. And would have never chosen the way God did it. Because I was pastor of this church, they loved me. I loved them. I'd been their pastor 3 years only. We'd already built a beautiful little edifice that they still use today. Lovely little Bethany United Methodist Church on Guest Road in Durham. My first pastor. And one Sunday morning, I dropped in on the adult men's Bible class. And the lesson was on Acts 2. And the teacher finished early and turned to me and said, preacher, come on up here to finish this lesson for me. And I heard within my heart, why don't you tell this group of men how desperately you need and desire to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? And I thought, Lord, these fellows make up the official body of this church for the most part. And if they ever discover how inadequate I am, and I they'll lose their respect for me. And if they do, I'll not have a ministry. And I knew my ministry was of God. And I felt like I had to protect it. You have to learn some things. And I heard the question, do you want a ministry based on your fear of public opinion? Or do you really want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And I was about 12 steps away from that lectern. And I came toward that lectern. It was the longest journey I've ever made. And somewhere between my seat and that lectern, I knew the Methodist Church was losing the best bishop they would ever have. I just knew it. And I gripped that lectern, and I began to confess my desire and need before those men. And the Lord began baptizing me right before them. I had never been with anyone at the time they were baptized with the Spirit. I had no kind of knowledge. And I was just responding. And the first awareness of supernatural was joy. My goodness, I began to laugh. You'd have thought I was in Toronto, sure enough. I was laughing all over the place. And boy, the love of Jesus just flooded me. And I looked out at those men, and they were so precious. And I just went around hugging them and kissing them. I can't tell you what a healing that was for me. By the time I was 11 years old, as I came up, I stopped kissing Daddy. We always have a family gathering time at night. Daddy and Mama would talk to us a little, and then we'd all have a family kiss and go to bed. But by the time I was 10 or 11, I'd kiss Mama. I'd say, Daddy, let me shake your hand. Men don't kiss men. And boy, he'd let me shake his hand. Because I had a real hang-up about being a sissy. And all through high school, I was as big as anybody else. And I could hold my own. And nobody dared call me a sissy. I'd slap you so quick. I mean, I just wouldn't cotton to anything of the effeminate. After we married, if Frances really wanted to upset me, all she had to do was say, Dolly, would you come help me hang this picture? I mean, what do men know about hanging pictures? Hold it right there. Move it over this way a little. Now do this. I don't think that's the place. Well, let's put it over here. And I just see the, you know, that's girl mess. Sometimes I'd go out and she'd say, darling, that tie doesn't go with that outfit. I'd say a tie's a tie. Well, I care, darling. Leave me alone. I got to go. No, you see, it was feminine stuff. Color coordination. And here the Holy Spirit began to move in my life. And one of the first responses, kissing me. See, I'd never heard of Adamon Adamoth. That was years later I got the teaching on it. You know the Holy Ghost can do some things without you knowing what he's doing. And I began to have my feminine side expressed. So that if I weren't a preacher today, I might be the best interior decorator you ever saw. No telling. All these good feminine qualities have developed in me, and I love it. Really do. And I praise God. Baptism with the Holy Ghost and Jesus right there before that group of men, and all that afternoon praise and thanksgiving. And that night after the service, a group of them were waiting for me and said, we want to know what's happening. And we got together, about 40 members of the church, and the gifts began to flow: prophecy, tongues, interpretation, discernment of the Spirit. And they thought I was having a breakdown. And I was having to break up. And for 3 weeks, I was in high ecstasy. And then the Lord began to reveal. And by the time I got around to sort of hitting the ground, the church felt that it'd be wise for me to move. And I did, in the middle of the conference here. And the word got out on me that I was a tongues talker. And anointed with oil. An oil totem to a tongue talker. That's what they called me. And my name was Mud. And I was the off scouring like that. I didn't know responding to Jesus would throw me in that kind of relationship. I don't know that I would have ever asked for the baptism had I known. But I want to tell you, would I do it again? Yes. No price is too great to pay to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And God began became another pastor. The bishop did hold on to me. I'll have to thank the Lord for the bishop. But the lay people began to respond to me. And these girls, mothers, were just in the early stages of starting the prayer groups in Greenville. And they would have me come over. Myra's aunt, this is Myra Henry. Myra is Myra, she was a Blunt. And the Blunts in Eastern North Carolina are Hoy Beloy. I mean, they're one of the leading families in the state. Everyone knows it. But she had an aunt, an uncle, that just loved me, Uncle Layton, and aunt. And we were having an annual conference in their church in Greenville, Jarvis Memorial. And those days, we stayed in people's homes. And I got the church registered and was going to be assigned the home where I was staying. And at the church, the lady looked at me and said, "You're Tommy Tyson." I said, "Yes." "Well, Tommy, would it be all right if we reassigned you?" I said, "What did you mean?" "Well," I said, "you're assigned here to Miss Layton Blunt's home. But," said, "we want to save that home for the bishop. Could we reassign you?" I said, "Sure." And about that time, Miss Blunt walked in. And the registrar told her. And boy, she stood tall. And she said, "We'll do no such thing. I want Tommy Tyson in my home because I know where he stands with Jesus, and we need him." Man, I tell you, I began to dance in my soul. I thought, they don't know who they're dealing with. And the Lord began to reward me, and the layman began to respond. When the CFO, Glenn Clark, responded to me, and the CFO has responded. And CFO became my spiritual home. And then the Lord began to give me favor with my own people. And when Bishop Cannon left a few years ago to retire, I went to him and I said, "You better examine me before you go." He said, "Why?" I said, I may be backslidden. He said, "Why do you think that?" I said, "I'm being so well accepted." Now, the reason I'm telling you this is to tell you that faith beginning to work, when you start responding to God, watch out, because you'll be threatened. You'll be threatened by other value systems. The world doesn't mind us calling ourselves Christians as long as we don't take Jesus seriously. But when you really start giving yourself over and take Jesus seriously, well, now they call you the political right, the religious right. Amazing, isn't it? The way we get nomenclature to somehow throw wrenches in the works. No, I pay no attention to that anymore. Did God say it? Has God promised? Well, blessed Holy Spirit, would you quicken that word me? Would you write within my heart, as you promised, the law of God? Let me see that I'm an heir of the promise. By his stripes, Tommy Tyson was healed. By his stripes, Tommy Tyson was healed. And I accept Jesus as my healer. Now, I'll use any method God leads me to, but I'm still looking for healing. I'm not going to talk myself out of it. I'm the baptized one. I'm not going to lose out on it. I'm the called one of God. I'm not going to back away from it. I'm going to stay looking unto Jesus, seeking to respond to him, and letting the methods unfold. There's one last thing. Have you noticed in the teaching of Jesus, when he really talks about faith, faith responses, invariably, he gives an example where persistence is necessary. Here's the man they let down through the roof. You think on that and see the persistence of a prayer group that meant to get their friend at the feet of Jesus. And boy, they climbed up on the rooftop and let him through. Thank God for a prayer group that won't take no for an answer. Can't you see that prayer group marching with that old boy up to the hut and can't get in? And they say, well, it must be God's will for him to be sick. We prayed for him, we brought him here, and can't get to God. Go home and put water in the flowers and fluff the pillows. No. Jesus is the healer. And he's given us love and faith, and we're hanging on. Yeah, in the way crowd, we got to let him pray for us. Here's a little woman, widow lady. In that culture, a widow lady had no standing. If her husband's brother didn't look after her, she didn't have anybody. Here's a widow lady, nobody looking at her. And she'd been mistreated by some of those politicians in town. She had a little piece of property, you know, that they were going to put a McDonald's on. And somebody was trying to steal her property from her. She went down to see the judge. The judge didn't want to get mixed up in it. He was a good old boy. Good old boy politics, you know. He wasn't about to settle that case. He put her off. And every time he opened that office door, there that little old woman was. Judge, when are you going to try the case for me? And finally, Jesus said, just to get her off his back, he agreed to try the case. And Jesus said, now, if an unjust judge will yield to that kind of persistence, how much more will a Heavenly Father hear and answer the cries of his children? Faith, once it knows its footage, has God said it? Is it his word for me? I shall not take no for an answer. I'll leave the timing and the methods up to God, but I'll persist. I'll persist. I'll persist. For Jesus is my healer. Or whatever promise you're looking for. He's my guide. He's my supply. Whatever it is. Does this make sense? This is his love working through faith. I took too long to tell you, but we're ready for ministry. And have you set up the groups? Well, I think you prayer group leaders certainly are choice people to lay hands on folks. Don't you think so? Get what you think. Don't you all are the court. You're the administrators around here. I just got the gift of preaching. You prayer group leaders, why don't you come on up here?
This is the end of the message. Please run your recorder and fast forward so that the tape will be ready for playing next time.